This lecture is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor David Kogel.
Let's turn back to Acts chapter 8. As you know, when I taught last time, we was unable to finish that lesson. And there's so many good things in there, I want to go back. So I guess we'll call it Obeying the Spirit Part 2. We talked about when the Spirit leads us, speaks to us in our heart. Do we listen? Do we obey? Do we follow through with what He wants us to do? And of course, the story here in the Word of God is the story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's go back and look at verse 5 to see what was happening with Philip here. It says, Philip went down in verse 5 to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I think that's very important to realize Philip's mission was clear. He went down there and he preached Christ. And because he preached Christ, some great things began to happen in Samaria. You know, whenever we have an opportunity to talk to someone about something that's very important, it should be Christ. And when they hear what Christ has done for them, that's what's going to make the change in their life. So you can see what took place, verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed. That means they listened unto the things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Of course, Philip wasn't doing the miracles himself. It wasn't in Philip's power to do anything, but it was the Lord working through Philip. And Philip was being obedient and letting the Lord use him. And so because of that, look at what verse 7, unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out, many that were possessed with them, many taken with palsy that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So revival was breaking out. Some great things were happening. And you can imagine probably how Philip felt seeing people delivered, healed, things just taking place there. I can imagine Philip was thinking, this is wonderful, this is great, we're just going to keep on. But at that particular time, something else the Lord had in mind for Philip. And that's where we talked about that. And so we want to look at what he did after that. Let's go on down and talk about the things that Philip did and how that the Lord was speaking to him and what was going to take place after that. So we want to go down to, let's get on down to where verse number 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So he had some of the apostles come down with him, and they continued to do some of the preaching and teaching and healing that was taking place. And then all of a sudden, in verse number 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. So in the middle of all this taking place and happening here, all of a sudden, the Lord has a different direction he wants Philip to go in. And I can imagine him, Philip probably thinking, well, everything good's going on here. Well, why do I need to pick up and go somewhere else or do something else? That's how the Lord works even in our lives. Things may seem to be going one direction in your life. Things going this way, okay, great. Then all of a sudden the Lord says, you know what? You need to go back this way. You need to do this for me over here. And we may not understand that. We may not realize what's taking place there. But once again, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and lead us and guide us, it'll never go wrong. It'll be for someone's good. So the Holy Spirit had another plan for Philip. And the thing is, Philip obeyed. He obeyed what the Spirit wanted him to do. I'm sure it didn't make much sense to him at all to leave what was happening in Samaria. He said, but now it's telling him to go not just a little ways away from Samaria, but way down the road here. He is to make a big move, and he's leading him to Gaza. It is a desert place. It is a place that is many miles away, several days' journey away, and he's asking him to go to Gaza. So look at what he did in verse 27. He arose and went. You see the obedience of Philip to the Spirit? Spirit said, go. You don't see where Philip said, well, no, wait a minute. Let me finish what's going on here. No, you know, maybe someone else can do that. But he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And if we have time, I want to later on at the end of the lesson tell you more about this eunuch and how remarkable the Lord worked in this situation. But you can see the definition of what this man is. He's in charge. He's head. He takes care of all of the treasure of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And so we find here that as Philip does exactly what the Lord asked him to do, he finds a man of Ethiopia. I'm sure he is going to be even more surprised as he comes in contact with this man and what's going on here. He's probably not traveling alone, a man of authority, a man that's in charge of the trade. He probably has a group traveling with him as they head back, but he's leaving Jerusalem and he's heading back home. And I often wonder, how in the world could a man from Ethiopia, south of Egypt at the time, know about the Jewish customs and the faith and decide to go to Jerusalem to follow through with this worship that's going on here and visit Jerusalem? So it is pretty remarkable that this is taking place here. And we may never know how that faith arrived in Ethiopia, but we're going to find out some things about him as well. Let's look at verse number 28. And as we see, he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was doing something. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. So he's coming back from Ethiopia, but he's not coming back empty-handed. He's got a scroll in his hand. And that scroll he probably purchased there in Jerusalem, and it is a copy of the book of Isaiah. And so he's reading that scroll. But let's get back to what Philip is going to do. Philip, we called him the preacher here in this situation. He's received the directions from the Holy Spirit, no question about where he's at. And what he's supposed to do, he's going to get even more instructions about that. And as I said earlier, please, whenever you receive instructions from the Holy Spirit, follow through with that. You'll never be sorry that you didn't. Maybe it's just a simple thing as the Holy Spirit saying, you need to go and pray with that person. You need to go and help that person in whatever area that you can. You need to let them know that you are there if they need you. You need to explain some things maybe in the scripture that they're confounded about. It could be a number of things. But don't push the Holy Spirit aside. Listen to him. Obey him. So here this Ethiopian official's headed back home. He has that copy of Isaiah with him in the chariot. He's reading the portion of the Word of God. And there's so much in that particular book. But something that he's reading just doesn't register with him. It isn't right. He's got a puzzled look on his face. It's something in his voice as he's reading it that Philip is picking up on. So in verse number 29, we see as he's reading this, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So he tells him where to go, and now that he's there, he tells him what to do. You know, I often thought about that. There have been times when I felt led. I need to go and talk to someone about Jesus. And I get there and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't know what to exactly say right off the bat. I don't know what to open the door and start sharing. I don't know exactly the direction here. But then as I have prayed and I have asked the Lord to continue to lead me, He gives me scriptures to share. He gives me thoughts to say, and the door is opened, and there we do what the Spirit's led us to do. And so that is very important that Philip does the same thing. And so Philip hears that, and he does follow through with that. We don't know what the outcome will be when we obey the Spirit's command many times in our life. But I can guarantee you when we obey Him, it will turn out to help someone for the good. So look at verse 30. It says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest what thou readest?" You know, I thought it pretty remarkable. That chariot is moving. It's making noise on that road. They're not on a paved road. And yet Philip's able to hear him. He must have been reading that thing pretty loud. He's able to hear him reading out of that scroll. And I don't know how in the world, shaking going on, how he was able to read, but he was. And he's reading out loud, and Philip hears him, and you know what? The Spirit's probably giving him a good old nudge in the back and say, you need to get on up there. You need to go on and talk with him. And so it says Philip ran. Philip ran to catch up, and he begins to talk to him about what's going on here. So we're not told how much time went in between when Philip saw him and when he caught up to him, but the thing is, he once again obeyed the Spirit's command. You know, wouldn't it be just like us to come up with excuses? That's what we do many times. And Philip could have said, you know, he's already moving, and I can't catch him, and I'm not going to be able to get up with him. I mean, if the Lord wants me to talk to him, He'll make him stop so I can just go over there. You know, we can come up with all kind of excuses too. You know, Lord, if you just do that and this, then I'll know that, you know, you want me to do that. No, we just need to continue to listen, continue to follow through. So Philip was probably so surprised to see here's a chariot in the desert, high-ranking official, reading the scroll of Isaiah out loud, and it was just God working in this whole situation. So as we see, Philip realized what the man was reading, and he asked him, Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading there? And people may think, well, that was rude for Philip to ask him that. No. He knew. He could tell something that the man did not understand what he was reading. And I think I shared this in the last part one of this lesson was, there are times when people are just reading their Bible and they don't understand it. And I have been asked so many times in my lifetime, do you know what this verse means? Do you know what this is trying to say to me here? I don't get this. And I would begin to study it. I would begin to try to find out what I need to tell them and ask the Holy Spirit, help me explain that scripture to this person. And I may not be able to do it the best that it needs to be done, but I guarantee you I will not try to explain it to them without the Spirit leading me of what that scripture means. And so maybe it's not scripture. Maybe it's something that somebody's just going through that you have already gone through. And to hear them talk about it and what they're going through, and the Spirit say, you need to share what I did for you when you went through that. And be able to say, you know what? I went through that same exact thing. Now, I'm a firm believer in never telling somebody, I know what you mean, if you don't know what they have gone through. I don't think we should do that. I don't think we should tell somebody, I know exactly what you're going through, if you haven't gone through it yourself, you don't know. But if you've gone through it and you know how the Lord has helped you in that situation, what a better opportunity to share that with that person. And that may help them so much. So always, like I said, listen to what the Spirit's saying. Look at verse number 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he's come to this point. He said, I don't understand it. How can I understand it unless someone guide me? And Philip, I don't know why you're here. I don't even know who you are, but you know what? Come on up in here and explain this to me. Must be a reason why you're here. So the official didn't seem to think it was rude. He invited Philip into the chariot. And sometimes people don't want your help. I understand that. There have been times when I've said, can I pray with you? And they said, well, I'm not really interested in you praying with me. Can I talk with you? No, I don't really want to talk to you about that. Okay. I'm just doing what the Spirit led me to do. But many times that person later on began to think about that, that someone was going to try to help them, talk with them, pray with them. And I've had them come back and say, you know what? I would like you to pray with me. I would like you to talk to me. Try to help me any way you can. So we do what the Spirit leads us to do, and the Spirit work on their heart and open that door. So the official replied to Philip's question, I can't understand it unless someone guide me. And many times people read the Bible, they get things out of context, they get things all out of whack. And no wonder today, all these versions that we have out here, people read, they get confused. They hear this on the internet and they watch this and listen to it, and they're confused about what the Word of God says. And so many times the Word of God's taken out of context and made to fit something that it doesn't even mean. Wasn't intended at all. And yet, people do it every day. So, the official wanted to know. He wanted to be guided in the right direction. And so, that's the thing that we need to realize here, is that the Holy Spirit will always guide us in the right direction, lead us in the right way to go. Look at verse 32. I'll get verse 32 up there. All right, the place in the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Verse 33. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet, this or of himself or some other man? Now we know by now, we've been Christians long enough to know these scriptures were speaking of whom? They were speaking of Christ. They were foretelling the things that were going to happen to Christ when he came to this earth to die for us. But this man had no idea of that. He didn't understand who are we talking about here? Who are we speaking of? And so the thing is that's so wonderful here is that you remember what I said at the very beginning of the lesson? He was in Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Jesus. Now, what is he going to do here? Look at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and did what? Preached unto him Jesus. He didn't talk about some other thing off the wall. He didn't try to come up with all this other stuff. He just preached Jesus to him. That's what the world needs today. That's what people need. They need to know about Jesus. They need to know about someone who has died for them, shed the blood for them, and can save them and is the only way to heaven. They need to know about Jesus. Don't waste your time if the Spirit leads you to someone to talk about everything else under the sun and then finally say a little bit of something about Jesus. Don't do that. Preach Jesus to them. Teach Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. Maybe preach is not the right word to say when I'm talking about talking to someone. You're not there to really preach to them, but you're there to tell them about Jesus and what he did for them. So that's exactly what he did. And he fulfilled how that Jesus had fulfilled the prophecy. Philip explained the things that he was reading about Jesus. And this is the thing. What happened? The official believed the gospel. And Luke doesn't give us a lot of details, but surely something took place in the man's heart. Why? Because he wanted to be baptized. That was the proof. Now look at verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" In verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The first result was that the official believed the gospel. And there are two proofs of that. First of all, he wanted to be baptized. And he's one of the few who specifically ask in the New Testament, "I want to be baptized." But secondly, and more important than baptism, was Philip said, "If you believe in your heart, thou mayest." And the man gave a clear confession of faith, and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You can't get more clear than that. That's what we need to hear when we're trying to lead people to Christ today, is that they hear the gospel, they listen to what the Holy Spirit's convicting them of, and they realize they're a sinner, and then they believe that Jesus can save them, and they make that confession of faith. This is something rarely mentioned in the New Testament, but it's a pattern or statement of faith. This man heard the gospel from Philip. He was reading, didn't understand it. Philip explained it to him. He believed it. And then he wanted to be baptized. And it's important to remember that this verse has been misused by a lot of people today because water baptism never saved anybody. Would you get Romans 10:9 on the screen there? And let's look at that verse. Because that clearly lets us know what salvation is all about. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and be baptized, is that what that scripture says? No, it stopped right there and said, thou shalt be saved. No way did they link baptism to salvation. The only link that baptism has to that verse is that after you are saved, after you've made that confession of faith, then you desire to be baptized. You desire to have that done so that people can see outwardly what you have already done on the inside. And that's exactly what Philip made sure about this Ethiopian eunuch. So we find here that, let's go back to Acts chapter 8. The official was already a believer. He wanted to be baptized as quickly as possible. They're traveling through the desert. Water's probably scarce, but guess what? They come to a place where they found water. And the official says, I see water's right here. I've made the proclamation that I believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I want to be baptized. So Philip agreed to that. They went down into the water, and they were baptized. Look at verse number 38. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. In verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, so the baptism took place. They went down, whether it was a pool, a pond, a lake, or whatever it was, they found water, and they went down into that water, and he was baptized. And it happened after he believed the gospel and made that proclamation. You talk about results. Philip was called away from the revival in Samaria to one person, and that person got saved. So look at verse number, well, we'll finish this verse. Go back to 39. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And then in verse 40, Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So Philip, right away, was caught away by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to explain how he's caught away. I don't know how he was zapped out of there, but it sounds like he's gone. The Ethiopian eunuch probably turned around and Philip's gone. So we find that the official went on his way home, and Philip probably may have wondered, why in the world was I directed to go to one specific person? But there was a reason. You see, we can't understand the ways of God. Lord, why are you asking me to talk to this particular person? I mean, you know what kind of person they are. You know what they... Why do you want me to talk with them? You never know what that one person may end up doing as a result of you being obedient to the Spirit's calling. Can you imagine the person that maybe witnessed to Billy Graham? Maybe it was one person that led Billy Graham to the Lord. I don't know, but can you imagine how he felt afterwards to see all the things that Billy Graham was able to do for the Lord and lead so many others to Christ? And the same result may be for us. But here, this eunuch is headed back home. He's got the scroll. He's got the message. He's got the Lord in his life. And some feel like that this Ethiopian eunuch, according to church history, founded the church in Ethiopia. So many things happened probably after that just because of that one man. So never be surprised who the Lord is leading you to talk to. Philip preached, the official believed, and was baptized, and he went on his way having a knowledge in his heart, and I can imagine the great things that has taken place. So I wanted to share about a little bit more about this Ethiopian eunuch and the history there with him, because it really makes it important to find out what kind of man that he was. You know, we read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says we had to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every person, every nation, everyone we can. The thing is this, when Philip shared with the Ethiopian eunuch, he was actually sharing to the ends of the world, the ends of the earth. This where he was headed was considered far away. So the story of the Ethiopian eunuch is a great passage and a fulfillment of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Because at the coming of the Holy Spirit, the gospel would go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I'm sure the apostles probably thought about that. Well, I'm preaching in this little city and then down the road to this place and then down to... How am I going to reach the ends of the earth? But here, so many people would come from all over to Jerusalem. And what a great opportunity it was to talk to them about Christ. They would go to the ends of the earth because of this. This man is from Ethiopia, and he's on his way back home. And he goes back home with faith in his heart. He represents the breakthrough of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And another important aspect of this passage is that this Ethiopian eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. And the passage that he's reading is about the coming of the Messiah. What greater message could there be? And so Philip has the opportunity to explain to him, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the death on the cross. Let me tell you about his resurrection. Let me tell you about the fulfillment of the very scriptures that you are reading. You know, that is something today that people want to know as they read the Bible, is that when are these things going to come to pass? Or what about this that's happening on the earth today? What about this that I saw over here and this is going on? I heard it on the news today. What does that mean? And you're able to say, you know what? Scriptures have talked to us about that. It's a fulfillment of things in the Scriptures that are to come. Folks, we're living in the last days according to the Scriptures. What a better time to say, you better get your life in order. You better be sure that you know Christ. I mean, this thing could wrap up at any moment. So Philip explains to him these things. And as you go back some time and read Isaiah chapters 53 through 56, I encourage you to do that. So many incredible promises the Lord made that are in those Scriptures. And one of those incredible promises is how Jesus is coming. But what's so important here is that the special blessings that he has for the eunuchs. And that's especially significant because this man is a eunuch. You know, I think sometimes people don't realize Jesus died for you. It didn't matter what color you are, where you're from, how rich, how poor, Jesus died for all. And there's scriptures in there that they need to see that. They need to know that. Read it. Let them read it for themselves. Here, look what the Word of God says. That concludes you. So as he shared this and as he's reading this, I can only imagine how enthusiastically the eunuch accepted the good news. Because listen, he was opposed. His nation was opposed. They weren't supposed to be part of anything that's going on in Jerusalem, but here he is. He heard about it from somebody. He had a desire from somebody. And so here he's going back. So not only is this Ethiopian a Gentile who is considered an outsider of Israel, but he was a eunuch. And there was a specific Levitical law that the eunuchs were to remain outside the assembly. So they were explicitly excluded from the Lord's assembly. And yet here he is. So there are so many wonderful truths that Philip could explain to them. I can only imagine his countenance for Philip to look at him and point his finger out at him and say, brother, this includes you. This means that you're going to be accepted. What a divine appointment that was. The angel told Philip not just to go to a particular place, but go to a particular desert road where he would meet a particular eunuch. And when he was going to be returning from Jerusalem, he was going to be reading a particular passage. Philip didn't have time to go in his study and think, well, you know what? He's going to be reading Isaiah, so I better go and read that and study up on it and make sure that I say the right thing, do the right thing. Philip didn't know none of that. He's being led by the Spirit. So what does that tell me? It tells me when Philip got there, the Spirit told him exactly what he needed to do and what to say. There are not times that we have to go back and get ready to explain something to someone. There are times when people ask me about a particular scripture, and instead of me just off the handle trying to tell them what I think I know about that scripture says, I'll say, hey, you know what? Let me go study that. Let me go look at that, and I'll get back with you. I'd rather give them a good, clear message of what the Lord wants me to tell them. But there are times when I don't have time to do that, and I've had the Spirit tell me exactly what to say about what that person is reading and saying. And it was a help to them, and I had a peace about what I said because it wasn't something that I came up with. It was what, and you know what? I have always found the best way to answer somebody about a scripture is to use another scripture. Cross-reference another scripture with what they're saying. But you know what? Let me tell you what else the scripture says about that very exact same thing. And that will help that person so much. All right, let me try to finish up here. So Philip has gone on his way. We don't hear about him again until 20 years later, when Paul stays a few days at his home, and it was because Paul had put Stephen to death that Philip fled Jerusalem to begin with. So now here we have Philip, Paul, and the Ethiopian eunuch are all brothers in Christ. They're all part of the family of God. They were all the children of Abraham. So what an amazing thing when he came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing, the Bible says. And Philip was suddenly gone. And here the eunuch left with the Holy Spirit in his heart, the peace of Christ in his life that had transformed him, and realizing he's not banned from the temple court, he's able to worship as a member of the family of God. He had the Word of God. There's no doubt that he had joy, and he would be sharing that joy. You know, I believe he shared that, couldn't wait to share it with the Queen of Ethiopia. He probably got back and said, "Hey, I got some good news to tell you. I got some things to let you know what happened to me out on that road. And somebody that led me to the Lord, that helped me understand." So we realize the eunuch responded in the right way. Will everyone respond the right way when you share the gospel? No. There have been many people that I have shared the gospel with, and they said, "Not today, maybe later," and they have done that over and over again. And maybe they've had another opportunity, or maybe they haven't. There have been people I've never seen them again, and I pray that someone else will be able to follow through with that. But the thing is, I've done what the Holy Spirit led me to do. I've done what the Lord asked me to do. And here the eunuch believed in Christ with all of his heart, and he wanted to be baptized. That's why it's called believer's baptism. You've heard that reference. That. What is believer's baptism? That's someone who has believed in Christ and wants to be baptized. You know what? There's a lot of people who are baptized but have really never believed in their heart. There have been people, I know, because people have told me, you know, someone told me, "I need to be baptized." And you know what my response to that was? It wasn't, "Well, you haven't been baptized?" Yeah, you need to. My response was, "You're saved, right? You're born again. You remember when you got saved?" "Yeah." "Okay, yeah. Yeah, you need to follow the Lord in baptism." But there have been people that said, "No, what do you mean saved?" Right then, that raises a flag and said, "Well, we need to talk about Christ. We need to get Christ in your heart. You need to believe in the Lord first, and then get baptized." Believer's baptism. So it was a great message that Philip was able to explain to him. It was the gospel message. He's still preaching Christ. That's what we need to do. So I pray that through this lesson today, we'll understand this. When the Spirit leads us, speaks to us, tries to guide us, let's follow through and do what He's asked us to do. It's very important. Very important. Amen. Amen.
You listen to Pastor David Kogel. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.